The head of NATO warns the West cannot shrug off China's rise. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Jens Stoltenberg said it's time for democratic nations to stand up to bullying and coercion from Beijing amid a fundamental change in the balance of global power. Here he is speaking to the BBC this morning.
China will soon have the biggest economy in the world. They already have the second largest defense budget. They are investing heavily in new modern capabilities. China is coming closer to us. We see that in the Arctic. We see they are heavily investing in critical infrastructure in Europe. We see, of course, China also operating in cyberspace.
He said Europe and North America must stand together in the face of what he sees as a growing threat from China. Britain decided earlier this year to allow Huawei technology in its 5G network, but it's now reviewing that stance after pressure from the U.S. It's a decision Mr. Stoltenberg welcomes.
I trust that the UK government will design their networks in ways that protect the networks and make sure that the UK has secure 5G networks. And therefore also I think it's important that there now will be a new review looking into exactly how to make sure that that should happen.
Jens Stoltenberg there. Well, Huawei hasn't responded to his comments, but it has in a UK ad blitz, stressed that for nearly two decades, it's supplied British mobile and broadband companies with 3 and 4G technology. A quick check of financial markets this morning. Global shares are little changed as investors continue to assess the long-term impact of coronavirus. New forecasts from the OECD say the world faces a deep recession followed by a slow recovery. In the worst-case scenario, it expects economic activity to decline by more than 7.5%, which could lead to many nations losing more than 5 years' worth of economic growth. In the wake of George Floyd's death, calls have grown across America for city leaders to think about how police systems operate and the ways they're funded. Reform proposals vary, but one idea that's gathered momentum is for more public-private partnerships between communities and police. Dr. Elizabeth Aston is director of the Scottish Institute for Policing Research. She explains cultivating long-term trust is at the heart of community policing.
It's about being available, being accessible, and focusing on engagement activities rather than enforcement that can really bring about trust.
What is the funding model for a system like this? Does it require more community investment, or is it more reallocating funds from traditional policing practices and training?
That varies. Usually community policing will be funded from within police budgets. Sometimes there'll be local authority input, but it provides an opportunity also for members of the public and other organisations to be part of the solution. It really shouldn't take away from other budgets. I think that's important. This should be about calling for greater funding for a range of services, mental health, youth services, education, housing, social security, rather than necessarily prioritising policing, because all of these organisations and the well-being of communities is very important in providing solutions that are essentially social and not just a problem for the police.
One of the big topics of debate in the US right now is the share of city budgets that police departments are using. Police budgets in places like New York and London often include investment not just in emergency response, but also in things like counterterrorism and cybersecurity operations. So when we think about reallocating or using the funding in a different way, how do those operations fit into the funding model for areas that are larger versus smaller ones?
Sometimes what people will prioritize in a local area focuses on things that they can really see in their immediate environment. But you still need to resource cybercrime operations and, as you say, counterterrorism. But the solution to all of these social problems should be wider than just the police. And actually, a lot of preventative work should be done across departments. Unfortunately, when other social services are defunded, then that reduces the ability of other organizations to be operating in this preventative, collaborative space.
Are there large cities where community policing has really taken hold in a successful way?
What we saw in some of the countries we looked at in Europe is that it needs to be a much more democratic and involve communities in shaping what goes on in their area, what their priorities are. In Scotland, there's quite a long history of engagement and community policing. In Finland, we found good community policing practices in Helsinki, where police are working very strongly with the city and other organisations around problem solving in areas like shopping centres, for example, where organisations were working together in a preventative way. This took a lot of long-term working and really understanding each other's priorities and having NGOs and groups representing minorities very much at the centre of discussions and decision-making processes.
Certainly building trust is not an easy process. Dr. Elizabeth Aston, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Finally, this film.
Red, you go. Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Is no longer available to stream on the two-week-old platform HBO Max. Gone with the Wind was pulled after the company reassessed its policy following mass protests against racism. The 1939 film takes place on a plantation outside Atlanta during and after the Civil War. An HBO spokesperson said the film was a product of its time, but some of the ethnic and racial prejudices depicted were wrong then and are wrong today. HBO Max, owned by Warner Media, says it will make the film available again with a discussion of its historical context and a denouncement of the racist depictions. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.